This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. The number of shootings in Cincinnati has fallen from 2020, but it still has not returned to pre-pandemic levels. Among the victims are 47 young people aged 19 and younger. That's according to the Cincinnati Police Department's Cincy Insights database. In some of those cases, the perpetrators of the violence are also young people. We're going to talk about that today, just as they talked about it today at Cincinnati City Council's Law and Public Safety Committee, where a presentation on gun violence solutions was presented, and you can hear coverage of that on 91.7 and read stories at WVXU.org. Joining Cincinnati Edition to discuss the impact of gun violence on young people are Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center, Mayerson Center for Safe and Healthy Children, Director of the Child Abuse Team, Dr. Robert Shapiro. Dr. Shapiro, thank you so much for being with us.
It's a pleasure to be here, Michael. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure to have you, Doctor. And this violence involving young people is very troubling. And unfortunately, because it is so common these days that perhaps we see a headline and shake our heads that it's such a shame, but there are lingering impacts to the people directly involved in it. Could you share with us a little bit of information about the type of experiences that young people have when they say something as violent as a shooting or experience it?
Sure. You know, we often refer to experiences like this as adverse childhood experiences, or ACEs, A-C-E. And ACEs are any type of experience during the first 18 years of a child's life that evokes fear and a stress response. So if a child doesn't feel safe, if a child feels threatened, that evokes and creates a response within our body, adults, and child's bodies as well, to protect themselves. And we get increased cortisol and increased adrenaline levels. And these experiences all tend to add up and there's a cumulative effect, Michael, that if this happens too often, if a child experiences too much stress, too much fear while growing up without protective factors, it changes the child's body. It changes brain structure, how the brain is wired. It changes immunologic levels and even changes the child's DNA. And so we recognize that ACEs and these exposures to violence, scary, unsafe episodes, really can have a profound effect on a child's development.
When you talk about changing the DNA, could you explain that a little more?
I sure can. And for those of us who remember where the DNA comes from, we all have one set of genes from our father and one set of genes from our mother. And those don't change. The genes themselves are all there. But how the genes get expressed changes based upon a child's experience. This is actually called epigenetics, E-P-I. Epi stands for on top of. And these inhibitors stand on top of the genome, on top of the DNA, to allow the genes to either be transcribed, to be used, to make proteins or not. And so what we've learned, Michael, is that when a child experiences a lot of adversity, a lot of stress, their epigenetic profile, if you will, changes so that those genes that are help a child protect themselves, be aware of dangers, become more available to be transcribed into proteins, whereas those genes that might be used in a child who feels safe, nurtured, taken care of, are suppressed. And so that's how it changes our DNA. And this is it's rather dramatic. And Michael, this can be passed down from generation to generation.
So then when these children who experience this and then suffer those neurological consequences and those biological consequences, it is then passed on genetically to their offspring?
It can be, yes. And probably we're still learning more about how epigenetic changes can be reversed and how active they are. And epigenetic changes occur throughout adulthood also. But Michael, what this means is that even during pregnancy, if a woman is experiencing a lot of stress, those stress hormones are probably altering the epigenetic profile of the fetus. It does go on throughout a child's life. It can be reversed if the child and the adult has more positive experiences, and it gets transmitted through the gene, through the egg and the sperm. So there is a multi-generational biologic transmission of stress.
And then, Dr. Shapiro, what about those lingering impacts as these children become adults, those who suffer these consequences neurologically and biologically? What type of impact does it have on them into adulthood, both in perhaps educational settings, but also everyday cultural, socio-emotional ways?
So it can have dramatic effects. And I just want to point out, Michael, that we can't look at the number of adverse events, the amount of stress that a child has growing up, and then predict how that child is going to do, what kind of adult that child is going to be, because each child is different. Some people have more natural resilience against adversity. Some are more sensitive to adversity. And this doesn't take into account all the positive impacts that a child has. And so a child who has a very strong nurturing relationship with a parent or with family members or even coaches or teachers, as well as other positive experiences, these positive experiences can outweigh and help to overcome those adversities. But if we look at those children who, in fact, are victims of significant adversity during childhood, this carries through into adulthood. We're talking here about how a brain becomes wired, how, as individuals, we sense danger, we appreciate what a situation might mean to us, whether we are at risk. And so the child who is constantly in fear or worried about where the next threat is going to come from, well, that child is creating a brain structure to protect themselves and keep them safe. Oftentimes, though, at the cost of learning nonviolent ways to solve problems. So as an adult, they may not be able to problem solve as well. They may be more likely to respond physically to situations that someone who didn't grow up with this type of experience would.
We're talking about the impact of gun violence on young people with Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center, Mayerson Center for Safe and Healthy Children, Director of the Child Abuse Team, Dr. Robert Shapiro. But we also want to talk about how possibly to counteract childhood trauma. So let's introduce Trauma Recovery Center Counselor Janice Soule. Janice, thank you so much for joining us. Do we have
Janice? You're welcome.
No, we do have Janice on the line. Janice, I'm so glad you could be with us to help talk a little bit about the way children are treated when they seek assistance. Could you just give us an overview of what tends to happen when you're treating a child who comes for services after experiencing an act of, let's say, gun violence?
Great. Ooh, okay. So when I'm treating a child that comes to me after the act of gun violence, often sometimes just one in particular that comes to mind, first they're accompanied by their parents. And so the parents are telling me the story of like the child is like reacting out, you know, what they're seeing, like, like they got a gun and they're running. And if they hear firecrackers, they're running and they're hiding. And so they begin to react that out. Or if they're walking to the store, I know in the area that I live in, when kids walk to the store here, they'll tell you, don't go that way because, they do a lot of shooting over there. So my thing is like, so when a child comes, first of all, it's like making that child feel comfortable and safe to talk, to share their story and not, shutting them down, but let them have their voice, let them be heard, and knowing that maybe they can't describe it the way an adult could, but they're describing it their way, being able to challenge it and understanding what they're saying. Their fears are real. Their anxiety is real. So I think as parents, you can't shut them out. If they're dealing with issues, please, if they live in like the area that I work in, if they live in these high-risk areas, please take your children's, talks to you serious. If they're telling you they're afraid to go to sleep at night, there's a reason behind that. You know, they're just not like some person think, oh, they just want attention. No, it's not always them wanting attention. Something has happened. A traumatic experience has taken place. Those kids are afraid. They need to be heard. So when they come in my office, I will allow them to act out. I will give them paper. I get them to draw, just draw a story, you know, draw your family, draw, you know, and they begin to express their issues or their traumatic experiences through art therapy. They begin to draw out things and you begin to say, what is this? And one that says like, oh, you know, there's a monster in my bed. Well, it really wasn't a monster in his bed, but what he was relating to was the other things, the traumatic experience he has experienced. So it's like really being able to tune in to what they're saying and what they're not saying, you know, and really to listen to them when they're talking, you know, and if they're acting out things, it's not always that they're trying to be expressing a bad behavior. They need to go sit down. No, there's other things going on. Let's get to the root of what's going on with our babies. Let's get to the root of what's going on with our children. You know, what are the experiences that we don't know? And take it seriously. I just think it's really to take it seriously because sometimes kids are not taken seriously enough.
Janice, we noted that dozens of young people have been involved in violent acts of gun violence this year so far in Cincinnati. Are you seeing an increase in visits at the trauma recovery center?
I would say yes. Yes. We also connected to like another high risk area. And so like we're getting kids from there. We're getting, you know, even adults from there too as well. But with the shooter, because it is, I don't know, I call it out of control, especially with our teens, you know, shooting at each other. So yes, there is an increase.
We are talking with Dr. Robert Shapiro from Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center and Trauma Recovery Center Counselor Janice Soule, and we will continue this conversation just ahead. And a little bit later, Before the Big Red Machine, a new book explores the Cincinnati Reds teams of the 50s and the 60s. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition On Demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We continue now with our discussion of the impact of gun violence on young people and how to counteract childhood trauma. And we're joined by Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center, Mayerson Center for Safe and Healthy Children, Director of the Child Abuse Team, Dr. Robert Shapiro, and Trauma Recovery Center Counselor Janice Soule. Dr. Shapiro, you were talking earlier about the change in neurological and biological makeup of children who experience these acts of violence. And I'm thinking about something like the Parkland shooting, the high school shooting in Florida that left so many dead. And we've seen those children become activists. And as we follow their social media accounts, they also talk about their dealings with their own mental health and the type of challenges that they've felt since in the years since. I'm wondering if a significant event that takes place one time is different for a young person than, say, for a young person who's growing up in a neighborhood where there is a sustained presence of gun violence?
Absolutely, there is a difference because the effect, the developmental effect on adversity is cumulative, and a single event is unlikely to have a significant effect on brain development as long as that child also has supports and is nurtured. You know, here in Cincinnati, when we look at the number of children exposed to neighborhood violence, it's more than double the national average. The national average on that is about 8.6%. And here in Cincinnati, it's 20.7%, which just gives you a little bit of an idea of how prevalent this is.
And so, Dr. Shapiro, when children are growing up in tough neighborhoods, and we'll note Janice Soule is a counselor with the Trauma Recovery Center. It's located in the West End, which has seen some good developments in recent years, but has for decades struggled with poverty and crime issues. Can you talk a little bit about what toxic neighborhoods mean to the children who grow up in them.
So there's no question that growing up in a toxic, unsafe neighborhood and environment adds significantly to the overall stress that a child is going to experience. And in fact, we know that some groups are more likely to experience multiple adversities, such as Black, Hispanic, Latino, or multiracial people, people with less than a high school education or low income, unemployed, or lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender people. And these folks falling into these categories are all at increased risk of experiencing things like neighborhood violence, as well as other stressors such as racism, injustices, bullying, food insecurity, and a host of others. And so it is not a level playing field.
Janice, let me ask you about outcomes that you work towards when you're dealing with young clients. Is there a vision for success? Is there something that you hope to ultimately achieve when working with someone who is struggling with what they've witnessed or experienced?
Sure, of course there is. Resilience. Want to them to be able to get to that point to where they can bounce back. But my thing is to equip them, you know, first of all, give them an understanding of what they're going through. I do like the doctor's talking about, but I think that sometimes people don't realize what trauma does to our brain when we're in a traumatic event, something is happening like that. And so like educating, psychoeducation, giving them an education, let them know, okay, what you're feeling and what you're experiencing is real. You know, this does happen, you know, and if you said that, oh, I just froze. Well, that's a normal reaction. You know, validate their emotions and their feelings because they are real. And so then also my thing is like equipping them with coping skills so that if they're triggered by something, I heard a gunshot woman. I didn't know what to do. I want to be able to equip them with tools. So when they're out of my office, they can all know how to cope as well. Not only in the office, but outside the office. I want to make sure that they got the right tools to where, hey, I can handle this. I am in a safe place. You know, that event is not happening to me again right now. I'm in a safe place, whether I do my tapping, whether I do my breathing, you know, whether I do my mindfulness, whatever it takes to try to get them back to a whole them. That's my goal and outcomes for the clients that I see. It's like, you know, helping them to become back. Functional.
Janice, can you share a little bit of insights into where you're located and how children from the neighborhood are overcoming the challenges?
Sure. As you said, I work 901 Finley Street, first of all, Seven Hills Neighborhood Houses. We do have a trauma center in the Seven Hills Neighborhood Houses building. So that's where I work. We're down in the West End. It is a high-risk area. I think I try to remember what you said, but the outcomes of the children is like I see several children and I see them like they're getting it. I love when they get it, when they can tell me that, hey, you know, the things that I've learned in my sessions, I'm able to take that and help someone else. You know, I have a client to tell me that, you know, like I was experiencing anxiety and I see my friend go through this anxiety panic attack and I was able to, you know, give them the coping skills. I was able to help them to decrease their anxiety, to help them to, you know, get rid of their panic attack. So things like that lets me know that it's working, you know, to see them be in turn able to help someone else and what they're going through. So if one can help one and another can help another, then, hey, yeah, it's getting out there. And so just to get the I call them praise reports or the good reports that, hey, they are overcomers. They have overcame what they went through.
Dr. Shapiro, I imagine part of a treatment plan is talking about what happened with a young person. Are there dangers with having these victims or witnesses to gun violence revisit the event?
We certainly want to make every effort to avoid re-victimizing anyone who has experienced trauma. And so just as Janice is talking about, we give kids an opportunity to talk about it and help them express it and to acknowledge it, but not to force it.
And again, we're talking with Dr. Robert Shapiro from the Mayerson Center for Safe and Healthy Children at Cincinnati Children's Hospital and Trauma Recovery Center counselor Janice Soule. I should ask you, Dr. Shapiro, as I asked Janice, are you seeing an increase in need for these services?
So we are not at the Mayerson Center. And the pandemic has affected the number of children who we see for concerns of abuse and neglect. Because during the pandemic, children have been more isolated. They haven't been out in the public. And so there have been fewer reports and concerns recognized for abuse and neglect. We are now returning to pre-pandemic levels. But in the Meyerson Center, Michael, we don't see children for witnessing gun violence. And so it's a different measure.
Let me ask, because you did talk a little bit about the, you know, the makeup of the body and the brain development as it relates to trauma. Can you share with us in our final minute together, Dr. Shapiro, you know, how significant that industry and that understanding has progressed?
Absolutely. And I like to think of this work, Michael, that I'm talking about as upstream and in many ways to try to prevent the changes and the need for therapy that Janice is able to provide to kids. And so by providing nurturing, supportive environments that are safe to connect kids with a supportive adult who is there to help them through managing adversities, we hope to avoid the brain changes that experiencing trauma can result in and to help kids be to grow up to be healthy individuals. You know, as Frederick Douglass is known for saying, it's easier to build strong children than to repair broken men. And this has never been better understood than now when we understand the developmental consequences of growing up with adversity.
Dr. Robert Shapiro from Cincinnati Children's Medical Center, Meyerson Center for Safe and Healthy Children, and Janice Soule from the Trauma Recovery Center. Thanks to both of you for the time today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Our technical director is Josh Elstrow. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.